sobriety of that song, sobriety of the Spirit of the Lord. Is that He does know our name. To know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that we would be saved. His power, His knowledge, His abilities are so way more than we can fathom or imagine. To know every man, every woman, every child from the beginning of time. And then He on Crane, Texas, and say, I know your name too is unfathomable. You just, oh my gosh. To believe that our God is so conscious and so in tune with our lives that He knows everything that is happening to each individual at any given time. It is something that our Father is so sovereign in. He knows. He knows. And He loves you so much that He looks at what's going on in your life. And He has made provision for your life. Because of that, because of what's going on in this world right now, I get things daily, many times a day, of prophetic prophecies. I get these prophecies almost every day, and some of them are, well, probably most all of them are pretty right on. And I would have to say that they don't vary very much, only as to the personality of the person. They vary in the urgency of the person. And as a shepherd, as a pastor, I believe that one of my responsibilities of the under-shepherd, because Jesus is a true shepherd, I am just an under-shepherd. I am to be representative of the true shepherd, and that's Jesus. And I am to reflect what He's saying and what he's doing. And so when I see these prophecies, I try to discern, Jesus, what are you saying? What's going on in your mind? When you look at this, what do your eyes see? What does your heart say? What is it that you're trying to tell us? Let's get to the brass tacks. And So I have to carry a staff and a rod. The staff is to comfort the sheep, is to take it and lay the sheep down, is to tell them, hey, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. God loves you. God's going to keep you. Because when sheep get a little anxious, they start getting kind of start running around, and they could, what happens? They could hurt themselves. But the shepherd also carries a rod, which is the other end of the stick, and it is to teach them to obey all the things that God has said or Jesus has said. And so you got to learn and discern when to use which. And so here's the question that has arisen. And that question is this. Are we in the end times? Is this the final hurrah? And the answer of that is yes. Are we in the end times? Well, yes, the Bible says we are. He said we were in the end times when he wrote the book in the end time. We are in the end times, okay? But the book was written long, long time ago. When anybody ever says, oh, we are in the end times, they're basically saying it's going to be in our lifetime. That's usually the scenario that they're trying to say. You're going to see Jesus come in the clouds. That's basically what they're saying. That's basically what they want to see. That's basically what they're telling you. They want to see Jesus come in the clouds. So you better be ready. You better prepare yourself. Well, let's look at some scriptures. And so that's the best place to go. And it's the Word of God. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. So, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, for of this sort they are which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that not a description of the times that we are in now? Yes, it is a description of the times we are in now. But it is also a description of the times that they were in then. That was happening then. And so we need to realize that this is an ongoing problem in the earth. And so what is it in 1 John that God tells our responsibility to do? We are to destroy the works of the devil. Are these the works of the devil? Yes. So part of our job is to decide that these are things that are not of God, and so we are to head these things off. We are to confront these things and say, no, don't do these things. These are not of God. Especially denying the power thereof, from such turn away. How many churches, and I'm talking about churches, I'm talking about people who continue to say, that they are godly and deny the power of God and call it, they call good evil and evil good. That, to me, that is one of the scariest things ever. To be able to say that good is evil and evil good. Well, why is that so scary? Well, because it is so deceptive. Because when the power of God shows up, you're basically calling it Satan. You're calling it the thing that God is saying, I come with power, and you're attributing that to the enemy. And so, therefore, it's deception. And so, we have to be discerners. We have to be sons and daughters of God who know our Father and know the voice of God. Know, be able to hear what God is saying at any given time and what is appropriate at that time. And see what God is saying. Okay. So, as sons and daughters of God, what does God ask us to do in these end times? Now, some of the things that I've read, some of the things that I've seen, some of the things that I've heard, they continue to look at the things that are in the natural, the things of the building of temples, the things of the natural, building buildings, building things that have happened. The U.S. Embassy is now in Jerusalem instead of over here and over there, and things are. And I tend not to go there for a specific reason. I tend not to go there for a specific reason, and the reason is because that still relies on the actions of men. But I want to look at the things that are undeniably acts of God. And there are those particular acts, things that you could, there's just no way that could have been done without God intervening. And but being that the case, I don't know that the Scripture really tells us to look for signs. I mean, he says, now you ask for them, and I'm going to tell you, but he's telling you, this is what you really should look for. Okay? Let's, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so what he's saying here is they want to know, is this it, God? You see, they were looking for that place that they were all concerned about when the Roman Empire was going to fall. Because Rome was the acting powerhouse in that time, in that era. They were the one with swords. They were the one with spears. They were the one with all the shield and the armor. And they were the oppressors of that day and time. And they said, a Messiah is going to come, and they're going to take over, and when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell you what? He's going to take over, and I'll tell you, we're going to be in charge then. That it's going to be us. You know, we're going to get our due. And so That's what they're asking. Is it now, God? Is it now, Jesus? Is this the time? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one? And he says, it's not for you to know. It's not even for me to know. It is not for me to know the days and the times that God has set up. But it is that you will receive power. You're going to receive power. Now, what is this power for? That you be witnesses. Now, this is what witnesses, he said. Now, we don't have a map right now of what he was talking about here, but this is what he's saying. He says, I want you to be witnesses of Crane, in Crane. Okay? I want you to be witnesses in Texas. I want you to be witnesses in the United States. And I want you to be witnesses in the world. That's what he's saying. He's not just witnesses in this place, but I want you to be witnesses in that place. And then I want you to be witnesses over the world. He just expands, and expands. You see, Jerusalem was a central hub, and they started the church there in Jerusalem, or in Antioch, where they were first called Christians. But in Jerusalem, boy, they were all huddled around. And man, they got close together. They were like shoulder to shoulder. They were like, ooh, man, you know, aren't we good? We fellowship one another. We shared bread. We shared juice. So boy, it was good. But it wasn't good. And then persecution came, and they said, well, they're all together. And when persecution came, they fled. They scattered to all the ends of the world. They went to all countries. Why did they scatter? They were being persecuted. And it was a good thing. Persecution, good thing. It was a good thing that they scattered. It was a good thing that they left, because what did they take with them? The gospel. They took the word of God. They took, hey, we used to live in Jerusalem. And, you know, we met this guy named Jesus, and he gave us the word of life. Can I share that with you? Well, yeah, we heard about this guy named Jesus. Well, I met him here. Let me share him with you. And the Holy Spirit. And then the gospel filled the earth. That's what happened. And he's saying that's still supposed to happen. I come. It's not times and seasons of when the end times are supposed to come. It's that I come to give you power to be witnesses. Not to figure out when he's coming back. To be witnesses. So, spend a lot of time. Bless you. Oh my gosh. Side note. Somebody sneezed. I don't know who it was. But, somebody else sneezed a long time ago. And we never said bless you in this congregation. We never said bless you. And they said, how come y'all don't say bless you? They were offended. I mean, truly offended because we didn't say bless you. And I said, well, the reason is because it's a superstitious thing. We don't do superstition. We follow the Word of God. And so I just got checked. I said, are you being superstitious now? Yes, God, I am. We are to receive power, the power of God, to be witnesses. So what should we do? Be busy. Be busy doing the Lord's work while we wait for Him to come back. Well, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 11. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 11. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they were willing, are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not living that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy and conversation, in all holy conversation and godliness? So what he's saying here is not when is it should be, but what manner of man should we be? He says in the last verse, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? We should be the type of people that should be in holy conversation and godliness. It should be about our character. It should be about who we are. Are we representative of the character of God? One, of what we are supposed to be doing. Number two, of who we are. Waiting, while we wait for the second arrival of Jesus. Matthew 24. This is a kind of a lengthy scripture, but I think well worth it. Matthew 24, 3 through 14. It says, and he sat among the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. I want to point that out. Take heed that no man deceive you. Be very careful with all of these people that send you prophecies and send to you all of these things that people are saying. I want to point out to you, and I'm trying to be careful here, because part of what's happening here is that a lot of people take nationalism and the things of the church to be synonymous, to be the same thing. that as the way of the nation goes is the way that the church goes. And that's not true. Because it's happening in America is the way that it's going to happen in the church. And you see, it's a little bit arrogant to think that God is going by the way that America goes. Let's say we lived in Venezuela. Jesus would have already come back. Understand that regimes and governments have risen and fallen a lot of times during the time that Jesus died and the time is now. Lots of people have lived and died during this time. And so we have to realize that this is God's timing, not ours or the United States' timing. What presidents do, or what ambassadors do, or what nations do, is not in the hands of us. It's in the hands of God. And we need to realize that He is the author of our world. World, not just the author of our United States. The Bible should have more pull in your Constitution than the U.S. Constitution should have pull in your Constitution. Do you understand? And how you live your life, and how you see, and how the things that are churning in your life, the Bible should have more truth and life in it than the U.S. Constitution should. So, if it rises and falls, you should always live according to the Word of God. Understand, very dear friend of mine, very, very dear friend of mine, someone who I love dearly, has put out a statement. And the statement is, it may be a time for good men to do bad things to bad people. At no time do I see that this Bible gives an allowance to sin. Ever. Does not give this, well, it's okay for this particular time for you to go ahead and do to sin. We could be at a crossroads in this country. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we're going to talk about, if He knows our name, He also has a plan for our lives. Okay? Matthew 24:3-14. And He sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and divers places. All these. Did y'all hear me? All these are the beginning of sorrows. In other translations, it says the beginning of birth pangs. Then shall they deliver you up to the afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my namesake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You looking for a sign? You want the end to come? Then get busy. Start telling the gospel to everybody you know. Start being a witness unto everybody so that they will know the gospel. Because once it is preached to everybody, then the end shall come. Now, what's it say? Be a lot of things happen. The beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning. This is not going to be the first of plagues that have rocked our world. Man-made plagues, lies and deception that is going on even today. But it's not going to be the last either. And, you know, just like some have said, you know, we can never let a good crisis go without what? How does that saying go? Go to waste. Yeah, can't let a good crisis go to waste. So we're gonna get as much road work out of this crisis as much as we can. So understand, our hope is not in our government. Our hope is not in anything but God. But God. Now, how do we say that? How do we engineer that? How do we see what's going on? We have to believe that God speaks to us and tells us things. And we do things by faith. When He tells us, we need to obey. We don't put it off. Like, He sends us a boat, get in the boat. He sends us a plane, get in the plane. He said, well, God, I prayed for a boat. I prayed to be rescued. He said, I sent you a boat. I sent you a plane. You didn't get in it. God's going to do what He says He will do. It is our job to teach you to hear God. Understand that. It is our job to teach you how to hear God. And to listen and to obey God. Now, if you don't want to obey, okay. Now, I talked about the rod a while ago. And you're going, I get to pick on y'all because y'all sit on the front row. And you don't change, so I figure it's okay. So, but you don't beat your kids. You don't beat your kids at all, but because you want to. You don't discipline your kids because, you know, hey, today sounds like a good day to discipline the kids. You discipline your kids to an end. You discipline them to say, hey, I want them to be, what, better people, good citizens, good people to be in our household. They have to be better so that they can be contributing people within our household, which will be contributing citizens to our community, will be contributing citizens to the United States or wherever they live. So you bring the rod to do that. Well, that's what, but if they don't, you know, you only go so far, you know, before you kill them. You say, okay, they make a choice. It's a thing that I've told my own kids. You're past the point where I have no say at all. You go do what you're going to go do. But now you have to understand, you're not under my point of influence, you're now under God's. And you better pray for mercy because His rod is a lot thicker than mine. His rod, what would you rather do? Be under mine or His? I always pick my parents. Because he's like, ooh. So understand what is coming down the pike. If I'm doing my job, if you're doing your job, things ought to be okay. Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, this is going to be an odd one for probably most people. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church without having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So Jesus says, during this time, He's working on us. Because He's saying, this representation of the marriage is a husband and wife scenario. And He's saying, you as husbands should be working on your wife by the washing of water, by the Word of God. And then He's going, but I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about how this should work in the spirituals. And He says, Christ, our husband, is working on the church to make us spotless and blameless, so that He may present to Himself blameless. Right? Well, we're pretty far from that. So, I think we got some time before He comes back. But it's also another thing to be praying for. That we as a people learn how to be under the submission of our husband Christ. That we learn how to live under the the washing of the water of the Word of God. That when we get washed by the Word of God, that we are not, as, you know, I think about a cartoon where a little boy is being washed and getting behind his ears, and he's going, "No, Mama, no, Mama, stop, stop." But we need to be children who are going, "Wash me, Lord. Wash me white as snow. Clean me and make me clean by whatever water of the Word comes." And so that I can be part of that blameless, spotless bride of Christ. I want to be that spotless bride of Christ. So, this may not be the end of times. I told you a while ago that even though this is not the end of times, we have a responsibility to be at work doing the things that God wants us to do in the meantime. And in the meantime is He has given us power. We have responsibility with the power of God. We can't be those that have the power and deny the power of God that He has given us. We can't do it. If He has given it to us, I honestly believe it is sad thing for us to hand it back to God and say, "I don't want it." Have you ever given a gift and it be returned back to you and say, "I really don't want this." And you thought it was just the greatest thing that you ever gave. And you said, "Nah, you know, thanks, but no thanks." And that's what we do. We give it back to Him and go, it's really too much of a bother. It's too much of a responsibility to take on this power that You've given me, because, you know, then I got to go talk to people, and I got to call them, and then I got to feel awkward, and it's too much. I'm just not going to do it. He's going, "Too bad. I gave it to you." You know, the parable of the talents, the parable of the pounds, there's parables that He talks about, and He calls them wicked. We have a certain lifestyle at this time right now. And we are creatures of habit. We are creatures that do not like change. How many of y'all like change? Oh, yeah, that'd be me. You don't have to raise your hands. We don't like change. But this is a scary time. It just really is. Change could happen in an instant. It can happen just like that. And it can be just as loud as that snap that I just did. You know, in certain people's lives, let's just talk about the house, the house, the house. In a person's life, if you were in a car wreck where you didn't die and you were just left quadriplegic, your lifestyle changed. You used to be able to walk and go to work and do everything, and all of a sudden, in a moment, you no longer are able to. Not only did your lifestyle change, but your family's lifestyle changed. So, to the house, that the individual's house changed, the domestic house changed. We have been given an opportunity to stay back a national crisis, and that is by a vote. And we can vote. We have the power, the ability, and we have been given that power. Not by sin, but by privilege. We've been given a privilege by this country to do what we need to do, and that's vote. And so we should take that privilege, is to go vote. Vote how you see God is telling you to vote. Because what? You're a representative of God. So be a voter who knows what the candidates are representing. Abortion is a big issue for me. People say, why is abortion such a big issue? Well, because the Bible says if a country who kills their children invites a curse on their nation, it's something I don't want to do. I don't want to have a curse on our nation because of abortion. We have the ability right now. God has given us an ability to stop without sin. The ability to stop what's maybe headed our way. I don't know that we'll have that ability forever. I don't know. But we are this time. And so it is it's something that we need to take seriously. And I think that we take it seriously because why? Well, because I believe that our freedoms are important. And now, are those freedoms at stake to the point that will I not be able to pray? No, I'll always pray. Will I not be able to worship? I will always worship. I may not be able to congregate. I may still congregate, but I may break the law, and then I'll have to decide whether that's something that God would want me to do against His word. I don't know. I don't know. But I pray I don't have to make that decision now. There are some countries that have to. China is one of the biggest, has one of the biggest churches in the world, but they're underground. They worship underground. If we have to worship underground, we will give God His due, always. He's worth it. Last thing. Our expectation, God's expectation. If, put up there, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, start with verse 11, I believe. Second Chronicles, verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house he prosperously effected. Verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Going back up to verse 11 and verse 12, in verse 11, he says, when he finished the house. Let me tell you what, he's finishing the house right now. He's finishing the house right here, this house, the individual house. He's finishing the house that's happening right here in you, in us. He's finishing the house. He's finishing the individual house, he's finishing the domestic house, he's putting things in order, he's finishing the house in the corporate house, he's finishing the house. And so that when we come, we can come. And when God comes and says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, we need to be a people of prayer. I have seen, and probably the one that hits my heart most, is that we need to pray and fast. There's something about a 10-day fast. I've seen more people doing 10-day fasts, more and more and more. And personally, that's my plan. My plan is to do just a 10-day fast and just to just believe God. I believe that our president needs it. I believe our president could use it. I believe our God, just to honor him, is a 10-day fast. It's not to manipulate God. It's so that we can hear from heaven, to honor him, to give him his due. And so 10 days is what I felt I heard from God. And so you decide. You hear from heaven. And I know some of you can, some of you can't. But seek the Lord and see what he tells you to do. Hear from God. Position yourself and prepare yourself to hear from the Lord. Prepare yourself and position yourself to hear from God. I'm sorry, Eric.
You know, that's what happens when Arthur didn't get to preach for a while. He's pretty full. Like, where do I cut it off? Where can I stop? I'm going to give you a quick analogy I've used before, but when he talked about the government and depending on government, it just really struck me where we put our faith. And just bear with me with this analogy. A number of years ago, as technology director, we had at the school, we had a bad computer virus in the network. Every computer was having this thing shut us down. Internet access was down, and I was desperately trying to fix it. You know, I'm the one that has to, you know, it's me. I've got to get this thing fixed. Nobody else is going to fix it. It was for me to fix, and I wasn't being successful. And I mean, it was a crazy few days. stayed up there all night, one night doing what I thought would fix it, and the next morning it's still there. Come to find out, the very software, the very virus protection software we had in place had a hole, we'll say a security hole in it, that was being used by this virus to get in. This virus protection software was allowing the virus in because it was, I didn't have the very latest version of that software to keep that from happening. I upgraded the virus software and everything went back to normal. My point is, I had faith in a flawed protection. I had faith in something that wasn't perfect. Let us not have faith in our government above God. Ever, ever, ever. Always knowing He is above that. He is above anything man-made. He is above that, and He is forever perfect. The flawed government of man does not do the trick. We have access to that. We do deal with that. We live under it. But it's because of His allowing that to happen. So let's not put our faith too low. Put our faith up. Put our faith there in God, not in the government. Okay? That was just something that really struck me. Appreciate everything, Arthur. Knowing the end, how shall we live? Knowing their end, how shall we live? Not knowing when the end comes, but knowing the end, how shall we live? My son-in-law's mother died a few nights ago. Unexpectedly. I mean, just completely unexpectedly. The daughter, my son-in-law's sister, finds her. She didn't know her own end. Thankfully, she was prepared in Christ. We don't know our own end. I've always said, ever since I've gotten into this end time stuff, I've always said, I'm pretty sure most of us, if not all of us, are going to meet Jesus on the day that He calls us home individually rather than when we come back here. I'm just saying, I expect that more than I expect Him to come back. I'll be thankful if He comes in the clouds and I get to see that, but let's not live there. Let's certainly not have a rapture mentality. Oh, God, get us out of here because it's getting bad. But He says, but I put you there. I need you there. Witness to all the earth. It's good stuff, Arthur. Thank you.